Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hi, beauties, and welcome back to our Monday interview podcast. I am very, very excited for today's show, where we are going to redefine productivity. So if you feel like, this to-do list, I never get enough done, and you're just experiencing burnout from constantly feeling like you're pushing into more productivity, but it doesn't really feel like you're getting as much done, today is going to be an amazing, amazing show for you. We also tend to fragment different parts of our lives, whether it's wellness over here and then work over here, relationships, so on and so forth. And when we bring everything together to feel more aligned, we feel more flow and life just feels a lot more truly productive and truly fulfilling. And who I discuss this with today is the wonderful Adapia Derico. She is the author of Productive Intuition, Connecting to the Subtle. She is also a boss lady. She is a real estate executive, investor, advisor, speaker, and she so beautifully weaves together her work in finance with real awareness and mindfulness and spirituality. And I think when we, again, work to align all the different parts of our lives and we bring that energy of us, of the true self into all aspects, it's amazing how much more fulfilling our lives become. And again, everything just feels like it flows so much easier. But before we get into our show today, I want to give a quick shout out to our fan of the week. And his or her name is Me Monty 77. And he or she writes, I have learned so much about nutrition, meditation, spirituality, and body. I love the four cornerstones concept. Kimberly helps to understand it in a very simple manner. It is so inspiring. Well, Me Monty 77, thank you so, so much, my love, for being in our community, being on the journey together. I send you so much love wherever you are. Thank you so much for your review and for being part of the path, being part of the community. And my loves, for your chance to be shouted out as our fan of the week, please just take a moment or two out of your day and leave us a review on iTunes. If you screenshot your review now as well and send it over to reviews@mysaluna.com, we will send you a whole little mini course, 7 self-love affirmations. And there's a little talk I give with each one and then the process. And it's a really wonderful program for starting to really reprogram some limiting beliefs that you may have. It's a process that I work with myself. So I'm really excited to share it with you. So again, just screenshot your review, send it over to reviews@mysaluna.com, and we will get that over to you. And while you're over there, please be sure to subscribe to our show. And that way you don't miss out on any of these Monday interviews, Thursday Q&A shows, and some, hopefully some real wisdom that can benefit your life in some way. We don't know which part or which little piece might really resonate with you. So it's really good to stay tuned and to stay in that flow with subscription. All right, my loves, all that being said, let's get right into our show today with Miss Adapia Derico. Hi, love. I'm so excited you're here in the pod room in the woman cave.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here. It's so beautiful every time I enter your home. That's amazing.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's just great to have this conversation and to be able to share it. You and I have many conversations about all these different things. So it's just, it's nice to have a friend that, you know, I connect with on all this stuff so deeply. So thank you for coming and being part of the conversation.
Oh, it's an honor, truly. Yeah.
So we talk about so many things, love. I guess we'll jump right in with this idea in your book title. I want to go right off the top, productive. Mm-hmm. So I think that we live in a world right now where there's so much burnout. And I'm also talking about burnout because it's our theme this month in the circle, in the Saluna circle. It's thriving and avoiding burnout. Mm-hmm. And when I look around, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much that's packed in. And now it's fall. And this week I brought E to kindergarten for the first time, which is a big one. And so I think, you know, it's a little bit of a delicate topic because so many of us put our self-worth in doing. Mm-hmm. And so productivity it becomes a measure of our self-worth. Like, did I do enough in a day? Am I, you know, productive enough? Did I check enough off? Mm-hmm. But then it's like, a lot of it's like, you know, it feels very masculine, like going down the to-do list, and it feels very linear. And sometimes it's like busy work instead of being in like your, you know, the flow of what is, mm-hmm. you know, happening. I'm a very non-linear person. So sometimes in the morning, I just, you know, like I feel like I'm going to do this work instead of, you know, this. I'm called more to this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, can you tell us a little bit about this idea of productivity from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you started with that.
Right in.
That's the best place to start, is from the top. I invite people to redefine productivity, which is what I did in the book. Because productivity, as we define it in the West, is quantitative. It's like you said, how much have I done?
Yes.
Time is money. It's very linear. It's very masculine. But in reality, productivity can also be equated with generativity, with creativity. Productivity is what you make of it. We're just so defined by our culture and by those around us. And that's why we have burnout, because especially in America and like you, like I've lived in many places in the world where cultures are very different. They have a very different idea.
Right.
About
you
life.
Lived in Italy. Yeah. You're Italian. Oh, your parents are Italian.
Yeah. My parents are Italian.
You're fluent in Italian.
That's my first language. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and I lived in Europe in total for about 11 years in three different countries in Europe. And the idea of productivity there is different. I mean, people take vacation and it's sacred.
Well, and also the lunches are long.
Yeah.
But how is that, you know, again, going back to redefining it, like you say, you know, I'm creative, mm-hmm. but you know, it's, we can't put the same measurements. And then it's like, then we want to do, but then we want to mm-hmm. have enough stillness and time mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. then you can't really measure beingness as,
right.
you know, productive or not. So then I think it gets like,
it can get messy. I mean, I think there's this really great way of thinking about it, is we live like human doings instead of human beings. Like
yes.
that's what we're just doing. But productivity, you mentioned flow. When we're in a state of flow, if we take productivity as like quantitative output, when we're in a state of flow, we get more done than
yes.
when we're trying to force it. And that's, I think, one of the problems with productivity in the West, is this linear idea
pushing.
Of being pushed rather
yeah.
than when I'm also very nonlinear and I can get a lot done, quote unquote, without it being assigned to a time slot. Right?
Mm.
Like even with the book, like I was able to write the book and finish the book in a relatively short period of time, if you think about it in time, because it was a good time for it to flow. But I started that thing in 2018 and it just wasn't coming through. So I could have thought to myself, and I did, like, I'm not successful. I'm not getting it done. I'm not productive. I'm, you know, but in reality, it wasn't the right time. And that's a really hard place for us to land in ourselves, to know when is the right time to do something for the output that I'm seeking. And that output could be, I need some time to myself because I need to do my meditation. I need to get centered so that when I go into an action, I'm coming from the right place instead of rolling from one action into the next and never really having a centered place from which to take action.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the way things, inspiration comes in many different forms. It looks very different for different people. I was, you know, reflecting when you were saying that about this last book for me, which came down when I was 34 weeks pregnant with Moses. It was like the most inconvenient time. Mm-hmm. I was very pregnant and Bubby, you know, with the pandemic, he wasn't in school. So I just like had my hands full with everything going on. But it really, you know, this discernment you're talking about, it was so strong in my heart. It said, this book wants to come through. It wasn't an external, like, oh, I need to do, you know, checking off the list, or it's time, like how long it's been since I wrote another book. It's mm-hmm. time now. It came from the inside. And so, that energy, like pouring out, allowed the book to flow.
Yeah.
So what would you say, love, is, you know, for me, getting into that flow state and feeling like, quote unquote, like truly productive, it means not being rigid. Mm-hmm. And I talked about this a little bit on our recent Q&A podcast we had, was, you know, like we have this like list of things to do, but our energy changes every day. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like related to our moon cycle or yeah. menstrual cycle or, you know, whatever, emotionally or relationship yeah. stuff. But, you know, some days I just think I'm not really up for recording the podcast or yeah. doing video. Sometimes I want to be more inward and write. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, like you said, having some space.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all in the space. We have to be able to take the space to receive our own inspiration and receive the messages from our higher self and from our transcendent intelligence, from our intuition. If we are constantly in action, moving in activity, we're not open to receive. We're in a different modality.
What would you say to someone who's like, I'm so, I had a question come in from someone who is a full-time university student mm-hmm. and she's working full-time. And, you know, we talked about, you know, trying to wake up 15 minutes earlier to do her morning practice yeah. and her meditation and a little bit of journaling. What would you say to someone that's like, yeah, that sounds nice, the mm-hmm. stillness and the space, but I'm really busy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say, because I've been there. I've been yeah. there with like university and working full-time at the same time
yes.
and doing, you know, doing 2 degrees and all of it is you can do it. It's a choice. This is, and I know
yes.
sometimes it's hard for people to hear, but saying I can't means it's true. You can make a different choice to mm-hmm. say, I will try. Let me try it for a week or 2 weeks, because you can always find time in your day. Like you always can. And it, and 15 minutes isn't that much.
Exactly.
Right? Like try, give it a try.
Well, I think it's carving it out with intention.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, listen, 15 minutes, it's like you're watching Netflix and 15 minutes goes like
yeah.
that. Or it's just, you know, we talk about intention a lot, you and I. So
mm-hmm.
if like our intention is to create stillness, we find a way.
Yeah.
And I create a lot of stillness. And I'm with these, you know, the craziness of a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old
yeah.
and the podcast and the book and yeah. the business and all this stuff. So I say, if I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone listening to this can do it.
It's
too.
True. It's true. It seemed like people, I remember a dear friend of ours, Erica, we were having this conversation. We were walking and talking and I was telling her about what I do. Cause I'm an investor. I
yes.
mentor, advise companies and startups and do real estate. And, you know, we were kind of talking about it. Cause like you, we talk about our inner work, not our outer work.
Yes.
And so I was kind of giving her some things and she said, wow, she said, you do a lot. And yet you have all this time
yes.
for my practices. And she said, that's an amazing place that I would like to be. And I really reflected on that because that's the normal life for me that I've created. And I have multitudes of things going on and I have so much space in my life.
I know.
And that space is a requisite. It's the only reason I can do all of these
right.
things is because of the space over here that I've made.
It's true.
They're not separate.
It's true. I really feel like, you know, for me, stillness comes in my meditations It comes in my journaling time, which I find a way. You know, the baby's napping. Now Bubby's going to be in kindergarten, but like he'd be eating breakfast and I would find a time. Yeah. And then I do my hour walk. And that's like my sacred time where ideas come. So it's mm-hmm. amazing. Like you can find these pockets. And then you also have to let go of stuff. I mean, I don't watch TV. I'm mm-hmm. honest about that. I don't own a TV. John, my husband, will watch shows sometimes on the iPad, but I'm just not that drawn to it as mm-hmm. much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes yeah, we don't we'll have watch a TV movies. Either.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll watch movies as a family sometimes. Like yeah. we'll divide them over a few days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, I think it's intention and prioritizing mm-hmm. because sometimes, you know, whether it's the TV or whether it's online shopping or just scrolling on social media, mm-hmm. if we don't really claim that stillness time as a really real priority, yeah. then that's when we start to feel like I'm fighting this productivity yeah. battle and I don't have any stillness and I'm feeling really frazzled and I'm stressed and I definitely don't have this spaciousness yeah. you guys are talking about.
Yeah. And so where do you go when that happens? You go to distraction. You go to food.
Yeah.
I go to food when I'm stressed. I'm a stress eater. You go to food. You go to distractions like social media and you can spend an hour scrolling. And you've no idea what just happened to that yes. hour. And so one of the ways that I've reclaimed a lot of time for myself as it relates to intention and also for me, meaning, like the meaning behind something, is even I don't post that much on social media anymore. I've been really focused on my client work. And so I'm really focused there. And I realized that I was telling myself I needed to post more often. Mm. And in reality, I do not.
You don't. Exactly. It's like these things like we feel like we have to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And there's like, I think if each of us were to look at our, you know, lives and a lot of all the places we put energy, there'd probably be a lot of things we can cut out and outsource.
Yes.
And delegate. And for me, that has been a really big, important theme. Yeah. We've, you know, hired some more people at Soluna and just, I feel like there's more people helping me be organized and that's really important as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually going to say like for people who want practical ideas for like, you know, productivity, if you will, like something that I implement a lot is I live by my calendar. So everything is in my calendar. Mm. I have a home calendar with Andrew, with my husband, and I have my other calendars and my work calendar, and I block off time. Like you cannot get a hold of me because mm-hmm. I have a Calendly so people can book, you know, calls with me. And so you cannot get a hold of me at certain times, and those are blocked off. I have times for like research or writing or, you know, different things. And then I have time when it's my me time.
Yes. And I think, you know, when kids come into the equation, and I can speak to this side of it, mm-hmm. there is still that conscious, like, okay, my kid's at a play date, or now he or she is in school, or he or she is like playing by themselves. And so I can say, you know, even if we have these little tiny bosses over our time, like, you know, I found it to really, like, you know, for me, the podcast works around nap time. Yeah. And so like, and same thing with my stillness time. And then, you know, I think it's important to enlist mm-hmm. partners, husbands, roommates, whoever.
Yeah.
When we have that intention, just to let it be known, like, hey, I'm looking to create more stillness. Yeah. I'm looking for this because it's yeah. nice to share that. And then, you know, people respect it yeah. and it starts to, just feels nice to enlist the community, I think mm-hmm. is another mm-hmm. aspect of it because yeah. people don't realize, like, you know, if you say to your partner, I've said this to John, like, he knows, like, my meditation is so important. Like, I need you to like help with this and like do this and da da da. So I have this time. Mm-hmm. And so again, sharing our needs, which yes. isn't always the easiest thing for women,
yeah.
but like really vocalizing it and prioritizing it, I think is part of this as well.
Yeah. It's a huge part of it. I'm really glad you brought that up. Like enlisting help.
Yeah.
Is massive. Yeah. Really important.
Another aspect, love, that, you know, I love what you do. You talked about you're in real estate finance mm-hmm. and, you know, you work with clients and yet, you know, you and I talk a lot about the inner world mm-hmm. and here, as you know, are cornerstones for true beauty and wellness, like this real, what we're talking about, really reaching your highest potential, our food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you know, seeing the wholeness within us and all the different layers and all the different aspects. And we want to bring that holism, I think, into all parts of our life. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, really taking this approach has helped me be the best mom. It's helped me, you know, with my writing, it just mm-hmm. like showing up for friends. And sometimes I think, you know, we fragment, like here's how I eat and then here's my meditation. But this idea of oneness and integration is everything coming together. And that includes our emotional well-being and mental health and spiritual growth, which again, sometimes people get, you know, tripped up on that word. It's, you know, for us, we talk about awareness. Spirituality is really awareness, awaking up to like just your true self mm-hmm. underneath the surface. But we want to bring those aspects of ourselves into work. Mm-hmm. We don't want to feel like, okay, here's the real me. And then at work, I have to be this person and then I have to shut down parts of who I am. So, you know, tell us, love, this integration of work, business life, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the emotional, spiritual. It's a very interesting mashup.
It is.
Because usually people fragment them, but they don't have to be fragmented.
Yeah. And it's been a fun couple of years of, for me, integrating that. And I just, at this point, I just really own it. And I own it to such a degree that when I meet people in what I do in business, it does something to them where it gives them this kind of magical, almost magical, like permission when, and they start to open up to me about, you know, their personal or spiritual, like their beliefs and
but do you lead with it?
In a way, I almost do. Like when I meet somebody too for the first time, I'm not like a, how are you? I'm like, who are you? Mm. I really want to get to know who you are. And often, it just ends up going in that place because I'm so authentic and I'm so genuine in my approach to people of really wanting to, cause it's about building trust. I mean, especially when you work in investments, there's so many things that happen out there, fraud and,
yeah.
and it's really important to know that you need to earn their trust. And I believe you can only do that if you're authentic, if you're really genuinely yes. who you are. And so I can equally talk about the finances and the return structure of something and like somehow get into a conversation about what it is that they are seeking by investing. Mm-mm. Because a lot of times, if I'm speaking to a lot of my clients are doctors, is they want more time. They're burnt out. All these doctors are so burnt out. And so they're looking for ways to make passive income so that they can work less and be more effective and being doctors and moms and, you know, and so it's really like, it's not about the money or the thing. It's really about what it provides for them. And that's where I go.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't mean like we show up and we say, hey, I'm a spiritual person,
correct.
Like these labels. It's in that beingness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was working with clients all the time, and it's come full circle now because, you know, with this book, the first book came out 10 years ago and it was, you know, nutrition forward. But back then, and I said this, you know, the first book proposal, and I've told you this, was never meant to be the beauty detox solution. Wow. When I started working with my editor, it was actually a travel memoir from my backpacking. And she said, well, let's do that one next. Let's do this nutrition part that's really popping off on your blog. But always from the beginning, it was this mm-hmm. much more holistic way. And when I would work with clients, I knew the reason I could help them so much was I knew it wasn't about the food.
Yeah.
You know, it was really about what was going on emotionally and mental health wise. And, you know, again, spiritually, mm-hmm. when we're spiritually hungry, we seek it in other ways, like fulfillment in a external relationship yes. or with food or whatever. So it always just felt, for me, like you said, showing up and really wanting to know what's going on with someone and looking in their eyes and like seeing, feeling and being with them, mm-hmm. right? So that's that like a spiritual part is that awareness.
It is. I was going to say it comes from the awareness of having done our own work because, yes. you know, just really quickly, like I started working in a bank when I was 18. Mm. I was very ambitious. I mean, I'm still ambitious, but in a different way. And so I had this career and I was going for it and my whole identity was tied to my ability to succeed and climb the ladder and all the things that I thought mattered. Mm. And then as you know, when I basically committed career suicide in 2017, and that was really alongside of this awakening where my whole identity that I had built up my whole life just came apart and I didn't know who I was.
Because you quit your job.
Yeah, I quit. I was at the pinnacle of my career, and I quit.
Because you weren't happy.
It was such a strong, it was so much. I mean, there was so much going on and in a really simple way, like I couldn't succeed. Like nothing that I was doing was working, which was not even a thing that I could imagine. I've never not been able to make things work.
Yeah.
And then, and I was burnt out.
Yeah.
And it came along it was with, that there it goes.
Burnout.
It was all there. And the only place I could really go, even though I tried to continue to externalize it, like, oh, I'll be a consultant, I'll be a coach, I'll be a blogger, because I thought I had to leave the business world to come over here and have an impact, because I was really being opened up from the heart around purpose.
Yeah.
And I thought I needed to be somebody else to make an impact in people's lives. And that whole process, and that's when we met. And I was unraveling and I was doing, the only place I could go was inside myself to understand at a fundamental level, what are my values?
Yeah.
And that started that journey for me of coming into myself first before I could come out with purpose.
Watching your little one learn and grow is the best feeling in the world. But finding the right toys to help them grow and learn can be challenging. That's what led me to Love Every. I love Every personally for Moses, my one-year-old, because he's gotten so much fun and creative play out of the toys, day after day. Each toy has numerous creative uses and ways for him to interact, so it never gets old. He keeps exploring and experimenting and giggling. Love Every's play kits are designed by experts for your child's developing brain. Each play kit is tailored to your child's exact learning stage, so they have the right toys for the right time, with new play kits delivered every few months that grow with your child. Play kits come with unique, one-of-a-kind activities and playthings that are built to endure plenty of play. And each kit comes with a play guide that's packed with expert tips, ways to play, and do-it-yourself-at-home activities your kids will love. Our favorite is the Opposites Balls that comes in the Thinker Play Kit, where one is light and one is heavy. Moses is endlessly fascinated with how the balls move differently and interacts with them all the time, trying new moves and improving his skills. And I love seeing how much fun he is having all along the way. Take the guesswork out of your child's play. Choose Love Every today and get free shipping when you sign up to receive your play kits at loveevery.com/feelgood. That's loveevery.com/feelgood for free shipping. loveevery.com/feelgood.
Hey, beauties. So I want to share with you a little bit about why I'm so passionate about our SBO probiotics. You may have probably heard of probiotics by now because they're super popular, and probiotics do help to really rebalance your whole system and your health, because we know so much is dictated by the proper balance of bacteria in our gut, known as our microflora. So why are SBO probiotics? Well, these ones, just like everything else that I love to teach about, these are based on Mother Nature. They're based in, SBO stands for soil-based organisms. So they're based in the soil, the bacteria in the soil that our ancestors used to eat in small amounts. And that would really help to nourish their guts and to keep them healthy. And that's how our ancestors got their probiotics. This type of probiotic is very hardy. It also survives stomach acid. So it goes into your gut where it proliferates, and that's where you get the benefits. SBO probiotics are so powerful. You don't need to refrigerate them. You take them every day, and you can get benefits as far as better digestion, more energy, higher immunity, even better skin. I love these probiotics. I stand by them 1,000,000%. I take them every day. I recommend them to all my clients. So check them out for yourself if you haven't yet already, over at mysaluna.com, and you can use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements or skincare, excluding bundles. Again, that's wellness15 for 15% all supplements and skincare, including these amazing SBO probiotics.
Thank you. met at a time of great transition for both of us. Mm-hmm. I think I had just fairly recently, I don't know if I remember if I met you before or after Bubby and my dad, Bubby and his dad had split up.
It was just in the, like, right as like it was happening.
Right. So I was like, my identity was like, oh my God, now I'm living by myself and I'm a single mom. What's going on with my life? And I had, you know, recently lost my mom. Yeah. So sometimes we go to that rock bottom place and it, you know, the ego and our identity has to crack to be able to rebuild mm-hmm. and to take a fresh look at ourselves and realize I'm not just what I do.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this running around and this hustling, it's, you know, it's like, what is the point mm-hmm. of this? Yeah. You know, really, what is the point?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's the intention? So it's like, kind of comes back to that idea of like, why am I doing this? Like, what is my true intention? And when I got really clear on my values and my intentions, I also was able to unravel really this a massive amount of embedded shame around money, because I chose a career that is in the money field and I'm back in it. And this is the thing, is that my intentions the whole time, even though I judged myself incorrectly, my intentions the whole time were around empowering myself and freedom and being able to make a difference. I 100% believe that money with wealth in the right hands changes the world.
Mm-hmm. And, for sure.
And that has taken me my whole life
to
understand.
Yeah. It's neither good nor bad. It's energy and it's how we use it and that's our relationship with it, just like anything else.
Yeah.
And globally, I mean, in the collective, we're seeing such a big evaluation with the pandemic. You know, I was reading this article, I think in Inc. magazine, it was some crazy statistic. You know, high amount of people not going back to work, changing their jobs, resigning.
Yeah.
So again, let's say you say, you know, someone's taking a step back and they're like, you know, my job, no way. Mm-hmm. This doesn't fulfill me anymore. I'm experiencing burnout. Oh, how do we, you know, then transition? Like for me, it's always like we take that sacred pause and we go inside, but you know, someone may say, well, practically, like, I don't know how to do that. Yeah. Or I've been numb to myself, or I had to rush into the next thing for it because I need the money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard. And it's, there's not like a hard, like, here's how to do it kind of an answer. It is what you said. Like, the very first thing is take a pause. And even if that's like every day and you might be journaling, like, what is driving me? Like, what are my desires? Like, am I being driven right now by fear? Am I being driven by hope and love? Like, what are my values? What are my intentions? What am I seeking? What's meaningful to me? And having that dialogue with yourself. And sometimes there's going to be situations where you have to move fast, and that's okay. Like, you got to flow with it too. Right. If somebody's, you know, it's called the great resignation right now, right? Everyone, a lot of people are switching jobs and it's also a humongous opportunity, because getting clear on your values and your intentions means that when you go to the next place that you're seeking, you're not just seeking it because of the role or the title or the money. You're seeking an alignment of your values and your intentions with somebody else. That's what's going on. It's that people have realized, like, I am not aligned. I am not being properly treated. This is not how I want to live my life. And so know that there are really good people that you can align to. And they, in a way, I really believe, they have to earn you.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like, you know, part of this unpacking of stepping back also can bring up things like, wow, like, this wasn't ever something I ever believed in the first place, but this is something that I did to please my parents or something that was really their value. You know, I grew up both my parents were in finance, and like my other family members, people around were in finance. And I remember, you know, this is back in college, my mom encouraging me to go to the like finance job fair. And I remember, you know, back then I was 17 and I didn't have like the communication skills. I just remember getting really angry and just kind of like shutting down and being like, no way. So I didn't have the maturity to like fully express myself, but I was like, no way. And then, you know, being the wild child rebel, like after I graduated from Georgetown, I did backpack for 3 years. I went the opposite, you know, and from, you know, there's a lot in there. But, you know, I think about that. Like I give myself credit because I remember just like it was so it felt so wrong in my heart that I couldn't do it. Like I literally couldn't do it, even though I was a people pleaser, a parent pleaser, I just couldn't do it. And yet, you know, there's I have so many friends now, and you know, we have mutual friends that you know there's this drivenness, and I think it's like that partially like you know part of it pleasing parents. What society expects, like what's the safe thing to do, which we could also talk about. And it can be really hard to separate that from like our true heart. And that takes time, I think. It takes introspection. I think it takes sitting with it. And, you know, journaling has been really huge for me and also community. And this, these are the things that we talk about in the Soluna Circle. So we have that community available for you guys if you want to check it out in the Soluna app. But yeah, it's not, like you said, it's not just like an easy thing, but just starting to bring awareness to it and like really going into what is for you, not what's been passed down from your family and other ideas externally.
And an easy way to do it is like, is this mine? Is this belief mine? Where did it come from? And even just having that inquiry.
Like you keep going deeper.
You just go and then you start to see why do I believe this? And it actually becomes really easy to untangle from it. You just have to find the source of it. But it is, it's a practice. Like this whole, all of it is a practice. I'm going to be different next week than I am today. I'm going to have new insights on myself because I'm constantly working at unraveling the conditioning. Like when I'm, when something is, you know, when something is not, let's say going well, or, I'm having a strong emotional reaction to something, I have to ask myself, why am I having that reaction? Like, and I recently had, something with my firm, with my partners, where I got triggered by something that was actually a past behavior. And I reacted initially in my old way. And then I realized what was going on because I have the awareness now, and I was able to come at it from a different angle and have a different outcome, because initially I was going in with this idea, this story about this is always what happens. Right. And so that's like, it's going to be, it's constant.
Well, we keep, you know, unraveling ourselves and learning more. And I will share, I had a big realization recently about, you know, again, just going into like why, you know, well, what drives this? Like, where does this come from? And I realize I'm in this, the past year, like this big healing, I feel like, of my root chakra and like real safety and security, like feeling safe. Cause a lot of my decisions were driven by like, this is a safe choice. And if I do this, I'll be, you know, whatever it is, you know, safe, I'll be okay, I'll be protected. Everybody's parents do their best, but we all get ideas, limited ideas as children to different degrees. We all have childhood trauma. For me, you know, my mom, like my parents were doing their best, but my mom went back to work really, really early. I think I was 3 weeks old. So, you know, there was just this sense of like a little abandonment and loss, even though I had a wonderful auntie that came from the Philippines and cared for me. And so these like very deep, you know, the deep wounds, the deep ways that we sort of construct our identity from when we're tiny, like 1 year old, 2 years old, we can keep going, you know, deep, deep down. I feel like I'm in that layer where it's just like, oh, like really understanding safety comes from inside of us. And so that's been like a big unpacking. And you can start to see how it plays out and like triggers and reactions and like choices we make. And I got down to that level, you know, just from the meditations, the stillness, and just a lot of journaling. Mm-hmm. And like asking that question, like, is this, yes, is it mine? It's just like, you know, what is underneath this? For me, it's like, what is, you know, why is, what's the root of this? Like, why do I feel this way? Why is it so important that, you know, this happens and this happens? And underneath, I realize there's this like need to feel safe, this fundamental need to feel safe, not just physically safe, but emotionally safe. So when we, each of us can like get down to that, there's great empowerment in starting to unlock what like our key motivations are.
Yeah. That's like your deep driving, deep. Like there's a desire there, but there's also a driver that we're driven by certain, they're even deeper than emotions. They're literally like a drive. Right. And, and you're getting to the bottom of that. I had that too around, this idea of abandonment in a different way around, you know, it really breaks my heart when I see the income inequality. It's really hard for me. And I think that's why I was carrying guilt around where I chose to go and where I was able to go out of a lot of privilege. And I'm aware of all of this, but I have this, like, I had a driving fear, abject fear of poverty. And it wasn't about money. When I actually got to the root of it, it wasn't about money at all. It was about being abandoned by society and not being cared about. Being passed on the street. Yeah,
just
that's
like
what it was.
Abandonment in just general. Abandonment in just general. Like not being seen.
Yeah, being just thrown, like, you know, just thrown away, like a human life thrown away. That's what was underneath it. And when I got there, I was able to work out of that. And that fear that I had, I was able to nurture it, and now it's gone because I know that I'm safe and taken care of and loved. And people would tell me practically, like, you're never not going to be taken care of or whatever. And I could point to people in the street that nobody's taken care of, right? And so I was looking for reasons to validate that fear.
Yes.
When I found out what that fear was, what you know, my friends and family were saying, like, that's never going to be you. And I could see it was because I was just being, because it broke my heart so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's complex, and there's layers and layers and layers. Yeah. And underneath that is bliss.
Yeah. It's our heart. I was going to say.
I say like underneath it. You know, one thing, love, when we're talking about productivity and, you know, all this stuff and like choosing, you know, decisions and sitting. One thing also that I wanted to share that's very practical is sometimes, you know, our heart or our heads mess with us. Like thoughts can throw us off. But one thing like I've really learned in the last few years is to start to go more into the body because the body has so much wisdom. So I know sometimes I get in my head and I'm like, oh, but then if I sit and I sink into my body, there are messages, you know, whether it's this expansive feeling or like it's something in my tummy, I feel a lot in my gut, which is one of the reasons I think I used to get so constipated. I would like shut down, right? So it's gut for me, heart, like openness. And I've learned to trust more of that because I know the head can get wonky.
Yeah. It's, and that's like, that's in the book. Like it's, the chapters are literally like wisdom of the mind, wisdom of emotions, wisdom of the body, wisdom of heart, because it's in the body. That's where we get our signals. That's where our intuition is. I mean, our brain is literally our gut, I'm sorry, is literally the second brain. It's considered the second brain by science.
But like, the body has, you know, feelings. Let's say, and go into emotions for a minute, because I think that's the one that a lot of people struggle with. So let's say something happens and you get a strong emotion, but then you start to dig underneath and you're like, oh, this is related to trauma or this is a trigger from something before. Where does the wisdom come?
I think when you start to dig into it, like you said, is to dig into it with compassion for yourself, especially when you find that it's like a trigger or a trauma. It wants some attention if it's still there. It hasn't been released. It hasn't been given.
So you were saying, love, don't identify with it, but notice that it's there with curiosity.
Yes.
And then try to go under the emotion.
Yeah. And I think at a certain point, that emotion, if it's still there, needs attention and awareness, loving awareness, because it's there for a reason. Something happened. It's not to dismiss it.
Yeah.
We're not trying to dismiss, like, because that's usually what we do in our society and our cultures is suppress everything, pretend it didn't happen. And then it stays like that energy, there's an energy to emotions that stay stuck in our bodies. As you know, from you're very well versed in yoga and the way the movements open the body and emotions are released. So there's, to me, it's really, it's always non-identification. It's so easy. That's what the brain wants to do. It wants to identify and label and put it in a box so that it can feel safe about what it is. And in reality, all that emotion wants is to be acknowledged. And by acknowledging it, it gets released.
But let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, there's people that talk about the same, like, you know, it's a little bit of a victim story. Like, this person screwed me over, and you can feel the anger coming. And then 20 years later, they're still talking about it, right? So it's not being released just because we talk about something. Yeah. It can actually keep it alive. So let's talk about the difference, you know, the thoughts. Dr. Hawkins talks about this a lot, who I talk about all the time. I absolutely love him. Dr. David Hawkins. He talks about, like, if you're thinking it, it's kind of feeding more emotions. So what we're talking about is not the thoughts, but really feeling the sensation, not the justifications, because the justifications actually keep it. You know, that's why you see people that are in anger or grief or sadness for 20 years, you know? So this is like just going into the sensation.
Yeah, it's like there's the ruminating, right? That you're constantly thinking about it. That's your mind. This is like the way I think about it is, because sometimes I also don't like, and I use it a lot too, is like, oh, you know, let it go. Well, what does that mean? Let it go. You know, like it's not that we are taking some like strong-armed action to let go of something, because that's usually our approach, right? I'm going to let this thing go. I take a very A-type approach to letting go. What I've understood, and it's really hard to put it into words, is the emotion has to let go of you.
Mm.
It has to come up and out and through you.
So you just let it be there.
Yes. And then eventually
it's like digesting
it.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it keeps coming back. You know, Hawkins says there's the bottom to the well. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a lot of stored things. So I guess you just keep letting it be. And again, in our society, I think we have this idea you're not supposed to feel uncomfortable feelings, which is where the food cravings come in and the Netflix and the social media and going on YouTube, like all the different ways.
Yeah.
So most people probably have a big storehouse of emotions, because it's energy, right? Yep. It doesn't just go away. It gets pushed down. It's encrypted. It's not as physical as like your knee or your toe, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we're trying to get a sense of, I don't know if it's mastery, but just getting to know ourselves emotionally. Like that's a big job, because it's not how we grew up. And so that's, again, so there's a lot of patience to all the process, and it intertwines with, you know, mental work or subconscious reprogramming, and it's approaching it from all the different places. And I know I can overwhelm myself because I'm so intellectual, and it's very easy for me to go up and out and to go up. Which is why even for me, coming into my body is so important. And often when I'm spinning out, I just need to sit and I put my hand on my heart, and this is where I go, because that place, which is a felt place, just breathing into it, I always get answers.
Mm.
I always get answers. And even just, you know, physiologically, like taking a few moments like that, it's so powerful. I mean, we always, again, society's like, do more. It has to be this big fancy practice. It has to be this big thing. And it's not. It's so simple. It can be so very simple. That's the work. Even if it's a few seconds of, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to take a moment, you know, even before answering, like you're like, if you get angry, like, I'm going to take a moment, I'm going to sit with that, right? Like the 10 breath rule, like those are maybe cliche, but they exist for a reason.
Well, and they work, and now there's science to it. You know, that this part of your brain, it's like, you know, the reactive part of your brain, to simplify it, comes first, like fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a little bit of time for the rest of your brain to come online, like the higher thinking, the logic and the reason. So those 10 breaths can give your brain time to catch up.
Yeah. Cause it's like literally like it's the, you know, the amygdala and it'll shut off the rest of your brain. So you actually literally are not thinking. You're in primal, you're in primitive mode.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are operating from that place. And that's the concerning thing, is when we're actually being operated by a primitive mechanism and not even by a rational mind.
Yeah.
So
that's when very bad decisions get made.
Yeah. Yeah.
And oftentimes it's just that sacred slowing down.
Yeah.
That's all that's really needed. Mm-hmm. Just like, don't react so quickly. Don't identify with this emotion,
yeah,
which could be, you know, tied to something mm-hmm. that's locked in there that's been from a long mm-hmm. time. Just like, slow down.
Yeah. I mean, think about how many misunderstandings, because somebody says something, we don't really know what someone means, right? And then we interpret it from our lens and from our issues or traumas or what have you. And then off you go into this whole big thing that was really just a misunderstanding, because we're misinterpreting everything.
No, because we're in our own framework.
Right.
And I've learned this. So we're seeing things and we kind of look at something and it fits our story.
Yeah.
Because we're coming from that place. We're not coming from zero.
Yeah.
And I've learned, I think this has been a big thing for me and John at I Love, you know, my hubby, John. And we're very like different people, and somehow, you know, we really work, but like communication wise, you know, something happened the other day and he's like, you know, I know it looks this way, like, don't be mad. And I said to him, I said, what, you know, what was it your intention to, mm-hmm. you know, to whatever, to be careless, whatever it was. I can't remember the exact example. And he was like, no. And I said, you know, it's okay. Like, let's just communicate better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the past, I would have reacted from that literalness, the mm-hmm. surface. But as we start to connect more to the true self, mm-hmm. it's like we're going down into a deeper place inside of us. It means we start to look more at the context and the bigger picture. It's literally like our third eye growing. We're starting to see more yeah. than just this limitness, which is the, you know, the two physical eyes. We can just start to see more, and we start to give people a break, and we realize, you know, language is so limited anyway, yeah. the way we communicate, and it's all formed constructs. So it's all limited, and we want to be in our hearts, and we want to be able to connect with other people's yeah. hearts, because that's the real truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we could have a whole other conversation about relationships, because it's the same for me and Andrew. I mean, it's been that relationship for me has been part of this awakening about and just learning from him. Because the triggers that were in place before, and moving past those and having the conversations and really coming from a place of the benefit of the doubt, from a place of compassion, because I can also be very reactive, especially if something triggers these days, something I haven't quite looked at yet. And I'll think like, that really hit me hard. I got to go see what that is, because that was an overreaction mm-hmm. to what was going on, and how did I interpret that? And now nowadays, a really simple practical thing is like, I heard you say this. Is that what you meant?
Mm.
And then that gives the opportunity.
Like you say, I heard you say it, like in your words.
Yeah,
right.
Like, is this what you said? And is this what you meant?
Right.
And that's a big one for us,
because that's not so
funny. He uses words the wrong way. I'm like all about words, and he's like a math genius, and I'm like, that's not what that word means. So literal, like literal use of words can throw us off. And because I'm so literal with words, it took a few years for me for us to get around that. So even something that simple is just ask for clarity, like asking for that clarification is such an important part of bonding. And it's the same with my business partners too, where we often, with one of them specifically, like we're saying the same thing and yet we're not on the same page, and everyone on the team can see it.
Yeah.
And we see it now. And so we start some conversations with, I think we're saying the same thing. Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then here's what I'm saying. And even at a business level, like,
yeah.
And it's not easy in work or business to have such conversations, because we don't think that you're supposed to talk like that with your colleagues or your business partners. You are.
What's amazing is this, you know, this spiritual awakening, awareness, mm-hmm. consciousness, which is really like talking from your heart, speaking mm-hmm. from your heart, and yeah. connecting, bringing that into your workplace is so transformative.
It's huge.
I mean, it's everything,
yeah.
because all this like surface
yeah.
BS and communication that doesn't feel good to anybody, really.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Like, we want to be authentic. We want to connect. So just bringing that sense of like real presence and showing up, I think could do wonders
yeah.
at work in terms of flow and creativity and collaboration yeah. and so much.
It's so important. And like, even if we could even bring it all the way back, it actually makes people more productive because you're not so busy being someone you're not or trying to be the person that you think other people need you to be. I mean, just from an energy perspective and time and your own emotional resources, I mean, what kind of resources are you putting into being not who you are for other people? Right? And showing up in your workplace and in how you show up in the world, and it doesn't have to be work, right? But if you don't have to spend all that energy trying to be someone you're not, imagine what you can do.
Right. And then you just connect, and then you can be open, because it's the ego that's rigid, the ego that hangs on to every word and is so literal because it's tied to our identity. So when our identity isn't this opinion, our identity isn't this way, then we can sit back more and say, oh, I have my opinion and, you know, my colleague has a different one and we're both completely, you know, equal here. Like, I can be open to this.
Yeah. And the collaboration skyrockets and the camaraderie skyrockets and, you know, creativity, everything. It's completely transformative. And I know it can be hard. I know it can be really challenging. As you know, I lead like a monthly roundtable in a women's leadership group. And the monthly roundtable is about integrating our spiritual selves or authentic selves into work and really hearing each other. It's like our own circle in a way. It's like really hearing the stories and what they're going through and like, how do I approach this? These women are... they're thirsting for an opportunity to have these kinds of conversations because they might not seem like work conversations. And this is like an executive leadership group, but it is because you are not separate.
Not separate. I mean, and it's, you know, it's important to have that community because, a lot of times, you know, women and men may feel aligned with what we're talking about, but then they go to work and then people are in very different places and they're not there yet. So, I mean, I've been in that situation a lot, you know, and I used to work almost exclusively in Hollywood, you know. There's just like very different people in the world, very different values, like very different ways we're coming at things. And one thing I can know is we are in charge of ourselves. Like, we are in charge of our inner state and we can't control how something's received. Mm-hmm. But if we stay centered and from our heart and just bringing that awareness into our conversations, into work, you know, whether people, whatever they do, they're going to do, but we can feel good about how we're showing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, was it Byron Katie or I forget, someone else who came on the podcast said, it only takes one person in a relationship to make it a conscious relationship. So even if, you know, work, there's people that are, you know, in a different place, just like really showing up authentically and slowing down and trying to connect and all the things we've been talking about, even in that person may feel very, you know, blocked or, you know, whatever, rigid or whatever to you, it's still, you are in charge of yourself. So you still feel good that you're sovereign over yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And the other piece of that goes with this is, if you need to walk away from someone, right? It doesn't only, you know, you walk away. You have to honor yourself. Mm-hmm. Somebody doesn't feel good to you, and especially if they're mistreating you, like that is just not okay under any circumstances whatsoever.
No, and someone's being disrespectful.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's like, okay, like that's your opinion. Don't force it on me because I'm not forcing mine on you. And you can walk away. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes that's the only thing that you can do, which is the compassionate, like the kindest thing you can do is say no and walk away. Because that's another thing we don't really do a lot, especially as women, is say no. We're, oh, yes, I'll do this. I'll do this.
Oh,
I'll,
yeah.
I'll take this. I'll let that one
I do
slide.
It too, love. You know? I take it on. If I'm honest, like that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've gotten better. I delegate more. And, but I notice it in like different areas of my life. Like I take on, you know, everything with the kids and with the home and, you know, like just more, you know, conversation. John, and he's there. He's like, you just need to like tell me. And it's funny because we're more intuitive, but like as women, I think we lean towards the intuitive and I'm like, but it's, obvious that, you know, this needs to be done. Dinner needs to be made. The diaper needs to be changed. Like, you know, but it's like, you know, getting back to communication instead of taking it as like you're not supportive or you're not listening, saying some men have a different communication style where they, or at least like John is a style where it's more effective for our communication if I'm direct.
Yeah.
So that's been a big lesson.
Yeah. Same. Just tell me what to do. And I think, okay.
We're like, I don't want to be
your mom.
Yeah, exactly. Like you need to start figuring out what's needed, but then he's just not there. So then it leads to, you know, stress.
It's always, I feel like it's always comes down to the communication. And when we have self-awareness, the communication does get easier because that idea of that it only takes one person to make a relationship conscious is because when you have the self-awareness, you can have that prescience almost about if I say this way, if I react this way, I know this is going to happen because I have past precedent to go off of. How about I try something different? How about I don't react this way? How about I change and the outcome will change?
Yes.
And if we can get the ego out of the way that wants to say, well, they need to change. If you can get that piece out of the way and just say, I'm going to change.
Yes.
And then you start to, it's like literally trains your brain.
A different reality.
Yeah. And your brain's like, oh, okay, well, that worked. Let's do more of that. Mm-hmm. Because then you have a different emotional reaction. So it is, it's really important to know that you can literally be the one that changes everything.
Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. We can be the change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And that turns the whole victim mindset on its head, which is, you know, everything around me is a certain way. It's hard to get out of this. And I know that feeling, and I've been broke. I've experienced that after coming back from backpacking, and I know what it's like to climb out of being broke. And so I know that feeling of it, that heaviness and that oppression. But we all have free will, you know, which is something Guruji talks about so much. Yogananda is using our will and directing it and accepting that we are these creators and that we can create big change. And I think this ability to just have that space to create awareness and slow down. Mm-hmm. So simple, but those have been such a big part of me staying in flow. Mm-hmm. It's just like allowing, slowing down. So I'm not just like in that driven state, it just kind of spirals and you feel more anxious and there's more pushing and it just keeps going. Yeah. But when I slow down is when it allows me to be able to break those patterns.
Yeah. And still achieve, succeed, be abundant.
So much more.
So much. It's actually so antithetical to the way our primal brain thinks. It you actually have so much more when you do less, when you're more being, when you're in more being, you just access a different level of abundance.
Well, I have to say that I used to, you know, I say this because if I can shift, then I think anybody can shift. But I was such a doer, such a pusher for a long time. And then I really started opening up. And, you know, as I shared with you, this book that's coming out in January just flowed through, even in the midst of a newborn and a child and a four-year-old child. And also just, you know, work and having them at home, but somehow it was less doing, but I was, you know, flowing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been able to create and grow. And we just bought this farm in Hawaii, which isn't something that, you know, I thought would been a possibility a little while ago. But even in the midst of this, it just shows intention, slowing down, being in the flow. It's amazing how much can open up. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, was it 2021? I remember on a hike we went on together, one of our first hikes, so like 2018, 2017?
It would have been 17.
17. You told me about a farm possibility that actually fell through.
Yes,
so in Nicaragua. You had an intention.
I did love it. Tucked deep down, I have always loved tropical and I've always wanted to be in tropical. And then, you know, moving to California, I was like, this is great. And, you know, Now that we split some time with Bobby, I'm like, I don't know if this is possible, like, for me to go to tropical, but, you know, we found a way.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is, you're right. It's amazing how, we hold that seed intention without pushing. You know, Nicaragua at the time, it was this, you know, beautiful farm. I had found the land, I found a farmer, and then it just went into political chaos. Yeah. At the time, and, you know, Managua was a mess. I couldn't even fly in. And I was like, okay, like, this isn't going to happen. So I let it go. Mm-hmm. But then here we are, and Hawaii is the most amazing. I mean,
there it is.
One day we'll do Saluna retreats there, but it is just the land and it's magical. So yeah, things keep unfolding.
Yeah.
In the most unexpected ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been just such a journey, such a beautiful journey to like witness you as you've been going through this and to like, and to grow together.
Yes.
And I'm so excited for your book because I've witnessed you shift and change and transform along this journey and this book that's coming out. Like, I feel it because I feel you. I feel what's coming in for the community and for those listening, like, wow, it is going to be,
it's
so much. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, my love. And I'm so grateful for you. We have such a deep friendship. And so it's lovely to have you on the pod and to just share like a normal conversation we would have.
Yeah.
We do, you know, quite a bit of two-person circles, you and I. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love you. And I could talk to you forever. But I'll let you go now, my love, until next time.
Yes.
But very excited about everything here. My loves, we will link in the show notes to Ada's book. I call her Ada. Her real full name is Ada Pia. She's Italian. Her book is, again, called Productive Intuition, Connecting to the Subtle. And it has so much, you know, beautiful practices and information, and she lays it out so beautifully. There's research and there's personal stories. I have it right here in my hands. And, you know, go check it out for sure. And we'll link to it in the show notes again. But Adam, my love, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much. Such an honor.
Oh, love you so much.
I love you too.
All right, my loves. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as I enjoyed the interview myself. Please head over to mysaluna.com to get the show notes, links to other podcasts I think you would enjoy. We'll include a link to Ada's book and articles, lots of resources over there. And please be sure to check out our amazing digestive-centric supplements and our high-performance non-toxic skincare, our courses, all our other offerings, of course, our meditations, Saluna Circle, and our app. There's lots over there for you. Sending you so much love. We will be back here Thursday for our next Q&A show. Till then, take great care. And again, so much love.